There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jules Gill's Sonic Frontiers is out in 4 days. What do you think?
No, you're not doing this to me. You're not doing this to me. Every single time that we talk about Sonic Frontiers, you always just try and sneak it in there when the world is literally melting down about the cool as hell game that is God of War Ragnarok that you have played. And by the time that this goes up, your embargo review period will be up. So you can just go wild on it. As long as you don't spoil it for the people that are listening to this, because obviously
I'll do a little behind the curtain thing. No spoilers whatsoever for God of War, but turning God of War Ragnarok around as a review, little behind the curtain thing, when you're turning around a 30 hour game, and even that isn't 100% completion, and especially when it's God of War, I have freaked out across the last couple of weeks being given access to the game, which is lovely. We get access to very many games over the years, but it's God of War Ragnarok, it's the big sequel thing, and so like I've dove into that game. Every waking second when I had it was just getting through it, and then it's like, right, write down some thoughts, do the text review, do the video review, I've just filmed a Ask the Reviewer Q&A thing. I'll be doing tips and tricks and stuff as well. Twice, because that's, oh my God, because I filmed one, it's like 22 minutes long, and then the footage was all blurry. So I was like, oh, brilliant. Oh, good. Oh, thanks, Lord. Good. I'll do this again.
Scott, do you know what else is blurry?
Go on, mate.
The concept of this show, because we haven't introduced ourselves nor what this show is.
No.
So what are we? What are we doing?
The Untitled Banner Podcast, the UBP, sponsored by itself, because we have our own tie-in merchandise mugs with me and Jules' little faces on, URL's out there somewhere. I'm sure I have to find it. I'll find it before the end of the show. But yes, we always round up the latest pieces of, what do I say? We always round up the latest questions and talking points and things in the industry. My brain is frazzled from recording 40 minutes of the same video twice, and now I'm sat down here. But yeah, God of War Ragnarok, big deal, big thing. Can't wait for people to play it. It's the kind of game, kind of story that I only want to talk about when people have hit credits, because it's the kind of story that you just need to go in as fresh as possible. So I'm trying to pride myself on zero spoilers. I've not told you this yet, but yesterday, the day before the review went out, because it went up at 4 o'clock, I was low-key freaking out all day that even mentioning the acquisition of something was in itself a spoiler. And so we went through this last minute, oh my God, Phil Chambers, save me thing of trying to edit the video using YouTube's tools, because it was already finished and we already were editing
they
at like half
suck.
Past three.
The editing tools on YouTube suck. So it was like we had to edit something out of a list like ages and ages ago, just because of the fact that it was outdated by the time that it had gone live. And it took 3 hours after it went out for it to even like clip out like a 10 second thing, and it's like,
we had this thing, this is my dilemma, and I promise we'll get to the questions. We'll do a little podcast. We're talking about my plight as a reviewer. I get that it's 0.1% problems, but yesterday, that was the whole thing. I sort of like had this whole day of like, oh my God, is it a spoiler? Is it really a spoiler? Are people going to freak out? Okay, let's err on the side of caution. And so I messaged Phil, because everyone else is off. Like James Dowse is away. Yep. Many of our editors are off right now. It's almost Christmas. And so, you know, that's the thing. So I messaged Phil. I was like, I know you're wrestling man and you've got all your Simon Miller stuff, but please save me. And I've got this thing. And so he was like, yeah, cool. I'll sort that out. And then he was so busy that he didn't get around to it until like half past three. The embargo's at 4 o'clock. And then he was like, oh my God, I can't actually do this for 4 o'clock, but we can use YouTube's built-in tools to blur the parts you're asking about. And I was like, I guess we'll do that. But he's like, well, it takes about half an hour for it to render. So I was like, well, there's still going to be a live version of the video that has the thing in it that people might or might not class as a spoiler. And so it was like, I pinned a comment to the YouTube thing. And then I just watched the reactions coming at 4 o'clock. And most people were totally fine. They didn't even notice the thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then I saw one comment be like, oh my God, you've just included this. And I was like, oh God, I'm going to have to actually do the thing. So whatever, long story short, or just the long story, 3 hours later, we have blur filters on the God of War review, and I'm sat there freaking out that it's not a story spoiler, ultimately. That's what you need to know. It's not a story spoiler.
No, but you are
other reviewers have mentioned it, so yeah.
I like that you're being conscientious enough to actually make sure that people can go into this experience as fresh as possible, because I was thinking to myself, God of War Ragnarok is one of those touchstone moments. Like, it's a milestone. Like what other recent gaming thing have we had that has been this hyped, this built up, and this anticipated? Maybe Halo Infinite because of the comeback of Master Chief?
Well, I guess if you add the story side of it, Elden Ring was huge, but it didn't have a story anticipation.
No, but yeah, that's the thing. Elden Ring was just, it's the next From Software game. Mm. It didn't like build itself on that. It was just like, okay, this is what From Software doing next. Whereas this was, ever since 2018, people have just been like, well, I finished the game and I immediately need to know more. It's not I want to know more, I need to know more.
Mm-hmm. Plus, like, I mean, the way 2018's ended, where it was all like the Loki tease and it was like, why are people calling Atreus Loki and everything? So like, yeah, Ragnarok, not to reiterate the review, but does very much, is molded around that mystery, like from the get-go. It's very like Atreus being like, what the hell was that? What do we do? How do we figure it out?
Yeah.
Like, they just pick up where there's a 3-year gap, but they pick up largely where they left off heads space-wise.
Is a question for you, and I'm sure that there'll be some people that will get annoyed about this. So we recently, Scott Telford, myself, and Josh Brown, we did the question of when, if ever, do we think that Kratos is going to die? Now, obviously, people cannot see this now because it's not a video podcast, but I'm going to ask Scott about the three different things, and he's going to make slight motions, and I'm going to know before any of you guys do if any of the things. I think that I predicted that it had timey-wimey shenanigans and that he went back and became himself and killed himself. I think that was what I proposed.
You had something timey-wimey, which I do a confused face.
Okay,
to be fair, I'm going to do the same face for all three of these.
Yeah, you're going to ruin it for me. And then there was another one, which was that he's already dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, as much as we tried to predict stuff, and I predicted that he would become Jormungandr, and I'm speaking from the point of view of as I was before I played it. I'm predicting that he's going to become Jormungandr. That is my overall thing, because the Jormungandr in 2018 has like the white scales and the little pox of red on him.
Exactly.
Seems to recognize Atreus. Like, that's my thing going in.
Because we did like a lot of guessing games on that, and I'll ask this instead. Were any of them true? Did any of them come to pass?
Oh my God, you're doing the spoiler fishing.
You don't have to say yes or no. You can just make a face to me and I'll know, and the audience can stay in the dark.
The thing is, they do.
He's not making a face. He's talking, like,
because I can't facially express how much on the money and off the money we were simultaneously.
That's enough. That's all you need to say. I'm looking forward to even more now, because if there's going to be something as big of a big twist as that, but then not quite how we imagined it, fantastic. Let's go, boys.
There's some big stuff in here. I think that overall, you shouldn't be going in like hanging the whole game on a twist. It's more about thematics and maturity and Kratos and headspaces and where Kratos is as a character, as a person. I think that that's the real big takeaway, is that it's this like incredible dissection of what it is like being a father, like a flawed person as a father.
Yeah,
I think that's the takeaway thing.
I guess that in a couple of weeks we'll be able to discuss this a bit more openly about it, but I remember, I think that they had a perfect opportunity to tell a story of what is life like without purpose, because you've done your thing and now it's living for your children, and your purpose becomes helping them achieve their goals, even though that basically nullifies your life. You live for something else or someone else. And I was like, that if they could explore that in a video game, would be an amazing narrative, because that's hard work. That is hard work to tell that story.
Yeah, I think it's just like, it's, and it's also like, is the parent ready to give up that, you know, the purpose, and are they ready to pass things on? I think all that stuff is in there. I think that largely what you've described is what they're going for.
Do you remember, like, I don't think that we touched on it before when we spoke about it, but remember how clashing it was to take over as Jack Marston when John dies at the end of Red Dead?
At the time, I thought that was incredible, because it
raises so many questions, because he did everything for his son, said to him basically, stay off the guns, pick up the books.
Stay off the guns, mate, pick up
the books. And he was like, yeah, I will. And then as soon as his dad dies, he goes off, drops the books, picks up the gun, starts training, only to start the cycle of revenge again. And it's like, oh man, you could have escaped this.
That's the whole thing at the end of 2018's one, where Kratos just says to Atreus, like, we need to be better. We can't just keep fighting and being brutal, and ostensibly being the Greek saga, the things that we've already done in God of War's own past. Like, Kratos himself wants to be better, but it's always whether or not he truly believes he can be, like whether he's done too much bad stuff.
It's so difficult for him as well, because name me a god in that entire run that is good. There is no good gods. Every single one has flaws, and they're exacerbated by their power.
Yeah, they do some great stuff with the gods. Like, I'm not going to give you anything more than that, but the way that they flesh out the god stuff, the life of gods is great.
Okay,
like, there's so much good stuff.
Well, that's enough for the God of War Ragnarok chat, even though we are now, what is it, like 20, 30 minutes into our podcast, we haven't even asked a single question. So let's get on to that, shall we?
Yes, we'll get through it. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The review embargo is up, so you can go check out the full video review. The Ask Me Anything video should be up across the weekend, if not by the end of Friday. We'll see. And then I got tips and tricks that I'm going to put up on the launch day. Everything will be non-spoilers. I've definitely learned my lesson with the review thing. because I'm just going to be absolutely 100% non-spoilers.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing that it's such a weird thing to dance around, because I have noticed the two other major reviews mention it. The Verge and Kotaku both had it in theirs, so they're also treating it as just part of gameplay. Whereas I'm like, oh my god, people don't want to know anything at all.
Better to be safe than sorry, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm definitely 100% spoiler-free story-wise, but I think I'm getting in my own head about what is a spoiler. Anyway, let's get through some various questions. First one from Zach, who says, "Hi guys, hope all as well. Recently realized I have the ability to make games go on sale. All I have to do to make this happen is buy the game, and then the next sale that comes around, there it is. Do you guys have any completely useless gaming superpowers?" Now, I thought of something immediately for this. I have the ability to let any video game boss beat me as long as they're on a sliver of health, and I could beat them in one more hit.
Do you get like it's the performance anxiety then, isn't it, effectively? You're about to finish it. You're about to close. It's like the biggest sale of your life, and they just go like, you just flub their name or just say something very silly.
Too aware of it. And I think it's like in the Souls games where they visualize a health bar, or God of War does it, Gotham Knights does it, where you're looking at health bars going like, I'm so close to being out of this. I just need to survive a little bit longer. And it's like, just die, just effing die. And it's just like, and you did something wrong, hit the wrong button or whatever it is, and then they kill you.
Do you know what it is? It's because of the fact that when you see them on that last bit of health, you feel in your mind, because it's only one more attack, you let all of your defenses go down and you just go full in on the attack. But that's exactly what those games want you to do.
They
punish you. It's like I'm recently, as in like the last couple of days, I've just started playing through Jedi Fallen Order, and I'm really enjoying that game so far. Like, I'm kind of glad that I've left it for so long, because I was so almost burnt out on the Dark Soulsian thing. And yes, I am comparing it to that, because the combat is
a Souls game.
They try to riff on it. Bonfires and everything. Like, when I came to fight Ogdo Bogdo, the annoying little frog freak.
Absolute a-hole.
He's an absolute a-hole, because of the fact I wasn't used to the combat by that point. And it feels a bit floaty. It does not feel as grounded as the...
But also, he tanks hits and then comes at you when you're trying to do the animation. Right? Like, it's broken. Yeah.
It's like, I have a lightsaber. Fool, what are you doing? but then he... creamed my ass so many times, and then when it came down to a final sliver of health, I started attacking him, thinking, like you were saying before, I've got this, one hit, two hit, dead, I'm gone. And I'm just like, and as I fell, I was like, Ogdo Bogdo
Bogdo. That's the whole thing. I kind of want to make a plea. I was gonna hashtag the game dev. There's a game dev hashtag that a lot of developers use, and I was gonna tag that and be like, game devs, every time we're one sliver away from being it, just give us it. Just kill it. I don't I don't know how many more times I can go through it mentally where I'm about to win and I get robbed of it with a sliver of health. I've also had it where a boss has killed me and there's nothing visual on the health bar anymore.
Oh, that's rough. That's a rough one.
It has like 0.1 health, but the visual team haven't animated that. So I'm just like, it's dead, but it still kills me. It breaks me.
See,
it breaks me internally.
I had that when I was playing through what's that game, Octopath Traveler, because obviously you can't see their health unless you use a special skill to do it. I overplanned all of my attacks because it was like the chain of attacks coming through and I was trying to like break the boss to like move it down the attack chain, and then it was like, okay, right, I've spent all of my most powerful spells, what do I do? Okay, do I need to buff this person, do that? It's like, no, he's got 15 HP left, I just don't know it yet, and I just do one little whack with a like a mage's rod or kill it, and it's just like,
I was gonna say,
I'm over-prepared
for that.
I've over-prepared for nothingness. But what they should do is, like you say, that is a great mechanic idea. If they're on low health, you should have like a style kill, like immediately triggers as soon as you get them past a certain bit of health. So effectively their last bit of health doesn't exist. And you just go bang like that and just nail them if you've got a combo going.
I tell you what, in Gotham Knights is a game that is getting dragged.
Oh, here we go.
4 out of 10, 5 out of 10. I like Gotham Knights, god damn it. I think it's really, really, well, I was going to say it's really solid. It's not. That's one thing it's not. It's incredibly performance addled. but in terms of the character writing, it has tons of really neat ideas as well. And one little thing that I really like about it is that when you're fighting a boss, you get them on like, they're about to die. They're on really, really low red health. And that's when the cutscene kicks in, which I really like as a thematic thing because Batman or any character
doesn't
kill them.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler. Batman's not in the game, but still that whole thing of like I said, it ties in thematically with like you're beating them to an inch of their life and then they surrender, and I just like that. But overall,
with your whole sort of like Batman and by extension the Bat family doesn't kill, Red Hood does use guns.
Are they gonna say
it's like rubber concussion bullets or something like that? Just don't even bother. If you know, right, okay, if you're willing to shoot somebody in the face, you are willing to kill someone. I'm just gonna put it out there, you don't fire a gun at all unless you're willing for something on the other end to die. So
they
have
an entire scene that explores that. Oh my god, you need, okay, the thing is, and again, no one's ever going to believe this, but the way Red Hood is written in Gotham Knights is really, really good, and they really flesh out how broken he is. He's back from the Lazarus pit, can he be a better person?
He's not happy about it either. He's just like,
he's like, is he even human? And like and he's worrying about that, and they really, really flesh that out. There's a scene you can do with Robin where he's testing his guns and he's shooting all these mannequins and stuff with new metal in the background, by the way.
Of course it's new metal.
They play a really good card with him where he's like the older brother jock bro who fully knows he loves just punching dudes in the face because that's what he's good at. But underneath that, he'll play like a dance minigame with Barbara or whatever because he's like, he's the big older brother, but he does really care. I think they actually do it really well.
Right, okay.
But yeah, in that scene with Robin, he's shooting mannequins. He's like going crazy. He's got the new metal on, bit of saliva in the background, click, click, boom.
Gross.
And he's shooting all this stuff.
Gross.
It's not actually click, click, boom, sadly, but still. And Robin is like, okay, you do realize that that's going to kill people if you shoot people with those guns. And he's like, they're all criminals, like I need to shoot them. I'm just shooting to wound, it won't kill them, whatever. And Robin stands in front of the mannequin. He's like, well, shoot me then. If you think that, like, you think that that's okay, then you should shoot me. And then they have like a back and forth, and then Red Hood's like, okay, fine, I'll turn it down. And it makes him realize that he's going too far.
To turn it down.
Well done.
I understand how you understand. You're like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll turn it down. It's like, you don't turn down a 50 caliber round, mate.
So what
he's going to do is he's going to have to custom make a load of special rubberized bullets. And let's face it, the gameplay of Gotham Knights that I've seen, bullet sponge terms pretty much every person you fight in that game. So he's like shooting 50 or so of these expensive handmade custom bullets for that. Absolute Billy. At that point, just pick up a club and get involved. It's far cheaper.
It's true.
Bruce was rich. You kids are not.
It's true. I mean, I don't know how he tweaks stuff, but he says something like, let's turn down the velocity. My point is that he knows he's going to kill dudes. So he's just like, no, I'm gonna hang back because I'm the new Red Hood. And he's refined. He's a refined hood.
Imagine how brutal that would be if they just let you kill people. Just out and out, just goes like, I'm going to enter Red Hood mode. And you just go like, bang, bang, bang. They just don't get back up. He's like, oof, that's a bit rough, isn't it?
The thing is, like, there are lots of animations in this where he's just squishing dudes' heads into the floor. Like, one of his stealth kills, he just stands on the back of a guy's head.
Well, we went through this before when I think Batman Origins came out, and there was a really horrible death at the Christmas tree, or a supposed knockout using a Christmas tree.
Okay.
And we were just like, okay, let's just go back through and just count how many times Batman has actually killed people in all of his games. And
anyone that he hits with the Batmobile is dead.
Yeah, just rough stuff.
Because in Arkham Knight, they're like, oh no, they got electrocuted as they got hit. Like, no.
No.
Yeah. Even then, they're just electrocuting a corpse.
Also, it is heaps worse, the amount of damage that he's done to them. Like, imagine being in a full body cast in America, having to pay all of those bills. You are actually generating more crime in that sense, because they're going to have to rob, steal, do whatever in order to get that money to pay for their hospital bills.
Very rough. True. I mean, yeah, rough. Hospital Gotham General, absolutely rammed. Do you have a video game superpower from about half an hour ago when I got to this question?
No idea, mate. My superpower when it comes to video games is, any game that I truly get hyped over will be a massive disappointment. That's usually it. Like, if I see a trailer and I'm like, oh yes, mate, that's going to be brilliant. By the time it rolls around, I just try and distance myself fully from that project. Because it's like, what was that one I sent you and Josh the other day where it was like the medieval one, Blight? Blight. Yes.
Looks like God of War medieval, yeah.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it looks fantastic. From a small developing team, it actually looks like they have done an amazing job. But there's a little bit of it that I'm thinking to myself, ooh, this is probably going to be like a 5 or 6 out of 10 game. There's going to not be as much depth or as much going on behind the scenes as I want there to be. And I think I'm going to get bored of it real quick.
I definitely have that too. Just that overall feeling of the current state of gaming, where it's like, well, I look forward to it, but I don't trust it's actually going to be like that when I play it. Like,
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Like, not to make every little goddamn thing about Sonic Frontiers, but they just did a recent trailer.
Please.
I'll try not to. But just in the bottom, on the text, it was like, oh, footage captured from the PC version. And I was that's worrying, guys.
No.
Yeah. Like, even that's going to destroy my little heart in 4 days. Next question from Stallington Blade, who says, have either of you played or know anyone that's played Astral Chain on Switch, and is it worth it? It's frustrating that you can't even get Nintendo games for anything less than £40. I don't know if you've played Astral Chain. But
I've not played Astral Chain, but I've heard that it's actually meant to be really good. In fact, it was because it's an RPG, isn't it?
It's just a platinum action game. There's like RPG elements.
Oh no,
too,
in that case, then I don't know what this is. I don't know what this one is.
I'll take this one really quickly. But yeah, Astral Chain is legit one of the most overlooked platinum games ever. Like, it's really cool. There's actually a Easter egg for it in Bayonetta 3. Bayonetta like destroys like a dog cop statue, and there's like a fuzzy dog cop in Astral Chain. But yeah, Astral Chain is just about a couple of cops trying to take care of this like demon infestation in the city. But the whole unique thing and the reason it's awesome is the combat mechanics, which are all based based around the analog sticks.
As is per usual with Platinum game stuff.
Well, it's like one of the coolest like Platinum models because you're using the right analog stick to sort of like wrap enemies around, or like if someone's coming at you, someone's charging at you, like a regular charging enemy, you can like branch out like a, you summon different type, like different classes and whatever.
Well, like Wonderful 101 style.
Maybe. I never played Wonderful 101, but like...
also it's a Platinum Games title.
You can summon like a melee dude or a rifle guy or whatever, and you can send them out to do other things, and you can control them as well. But like, if you use the right analog stick, if something's charging at you, maybe you move your dude to the side and there's a chain between you and them. And so when the guy charges at you, it gets caught on the chain, and then you lasso them or like slingshot them back at someone else.
That
so
sounds quite fun.
It's a really cool, unique combat system that I
is
think...
Is that the Astral Chain by any chance?
It is literally the Astral Chain. Nice. Yeah. And I think that they do a really good job with like the class variety that you're summoning, and like you have sort of different power states because you can team up with the creatures that you're putting into the world, and the world itself is really cool. I was actually pretty blown away by Astral Chain.
I think I need to give this a go. That sounds really fun.
Like, I'm loving Bayonetta 3 at the minute, and I kind of have missed Platinum. Like, I've missed a good Platinum game. Like, Babylon's Fall was abysmal.
Yeah,
and so,
that was a real shame because it felt like, you know, when like you have your favorite indie director or like a band finally makes it big and gets featured on like a massive movie and it catapults them into stardom. It felt like that was always what Platinum Games was. It was like the underground, but well-respected and well-known amongst their peers studio, who suddenly got a big break, who suddenly got all the money, who suddenly got all of the attention. And it fell apart because of the fact that it came with so many strings. You can just tell that it was a game hampered by, it was designed by committee, but delivered through Platinum. And that was just like, it just does not mesh. Platinum need to just have, well, as Bayonetta 3 is proving, just unlimited creativity to approach the subject material and just say, have at it, go for
it. Yeah, man. That's the thing. Like, Bayonetta 3 is such a like resounding statement of intent, like for that team. And I know that Hideki Kamiya, like, apparently did a video, recorded himself, and sent it to Nintendo after Scalebound fell apart, just saying, "Can we make Bayonetta 3?" And you can just tell there's like all sorts of set pieces that are great in it. But yeah, just super quickly, Astral Chain is brilliant, and it's a very unique combat model. I almost played it like not one sitting because it's actually quite lengthy. But that was all I played. Like, it absolutely dominated while I was playing it.
That's rare for you because you like flip flopping between games, so if it held your attention,
depends what it is, but yeah, if something grabs me, then I will dedicate my life to it until it's done, and Astral Chain was one of those games. So yeah, it's really, really cool. Next question from Austin Brown, who says, quick shout out to Scott for turning me onto the Darksiders franchise. Massive
legend.
Shout out. I've now played them all but Genesis. Was wondering whether either of you have played Genesis, and should I do it solo or find someone to co-op with? Did you play Darksiders Genesis?
That's the top-down isometric one, isn't it?
The Diablo one.
Yeah, I did actually play that one. Actually quite a good laugh. And I know you could say it about pretty much any game with co-op. It's better with friends, but it truly is just one of those games. It reminded me so much. Weirdly, not as much of Diablo as I thought it was going to be, but more of that Lara Croft...
Temple
of Osiris?
Yeah, Temple of Osiris. I was going to say Temple of Light. Is that the Angela Jolie?
Oh, it might be Temple of Light. That's what
one
it is.
One of the temples.
It was just a really fun, chaotic, arcadey experience with a slight bit of RPG element and grinding put in there. And you know what? I just thought that it was a nice sorbet experience from the maybe slog and chug heavy attitude that the other games have, because I really enjoyed Darkstriders 2. Thought that was probably my favourite one out of the entire roster.
2's lush. 2's when they like fleshed everything out. But
exactly. 1 was fine. It was just kind of like, here's another 3D action game with a
edgy
protagonist.
Zelda stuff. Yeah, it was like, that's the thing. You've kind of got Mark Hamill being like a demon, like your sidekick and everything.
That was
and
good. Then, I won't get, don't get me wrong, that was he was another great voice acting talent.
Yeah, and I like all the unlocks in it. Like, you get the portal gun and it's got the same, it's like yellow, it's like orange and blue, like it is in Portal. Yeah. And like, I have such a soft spot for Darksiders. I kind of just think of it as the Legacy of Kain spiritual sequel.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to think about it, because every element seems to be ticking the same boxes, doesn't it, really?
It's got that same kind of regal kind of feel to the script and everything.
Am I going mad as well, by the way, that they said that Legacy of Kain or that the Soul Reaver franchise is coming back?
There was a remaster. They put like a questionnaire out for people to fill out, which I filled out in an instant. Okay. So I was just, oh my god,
your burner
accounts
as well.
Just setting up an army of accounts. But yeah, they put a questionnaire out officially. I think it was from Crystal Dynamics, because the Embracer Group are looking to explore various franchises, and Legacy of Kain was one of them. So they put a questionnaire out saying, like, if we did do this, what do you guys want to see? And people like me gave them paragraphs of stuff on what they should do and what they should not do, and they shouldn't do another first-person shooter like Nosgoth. So so there's that. But Darksiders stuff, I would massively recommend Genesis. Just know that it's nothing like Darksiders 1, 2, or 3. It is a top-down thing. And I played did it all solo, so I guess that's the main question. The AI is solid enough. I mean, there's a lot of team-up moves that just trigger anyway.
But playing it with another person is just going to be that much more fun.
Yeah, if you can find someone, it's great. But I did it solo. But I would recommend it either way. I think that game's art design and how fast it moves and how well it plays is so cool. So, yes. Next question from Darren Martin, who says, where does Gotham Knights rank in the Batman Arkham games now that I've finished it? Also, do you guys ever plan on doing any more live gaming vids on the channel? You're the absolute best gaming guys on YouTube. Well, massive thank you for that.
Thank you so much. And we can address both parts of this question separately because you've played Gotham Knights and I can talk more about the live streaming stuff. So you go first.
Gotham Knights, I don't wake up in the morning trying to be a rapscallion, but I really, really like Gotham Knights and more than Arkham Knight. So I'm that guy.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't actually expecting you to have that take.
I know. I think it's better written. I like the combat fine enough. I just hated the story in Arkham Knight so much that I found most of my time going through that game, I was just doing a confused face, like, what the hell have you guys done? Whereas I really, really like Gotham Knight's story. I like all the thematics that are there. I think the fact that they wrote a story in Gotham Knights that has four protagonists and you can just rotate through any of them and they all feel valid and they all have really good payoffs to their arcs. Like, I think it all works way better than anyone wants to, like, well, anyone really knows that it does because the technical performance is so bad. Okay. Thankfully it's been patched. It now runs at a smooth 30 frames a second.
Ooh, but
at least it's smooth. So there is that. But yeah, I had a blast with Gotham Knights for the vast majority.
Okay, so let's rank them then. Worst to best. All of the Batman games.
Oh my God.
Won't do like the PSP stuff and all that.
No. So I think the absolute worst is probably Arkham Knight in that regard.
Fair enough.
And then it would be Arkham City, then Origins, then Asylum. I know.
Where's Gotham Knights? Where's Gotham Knights? So Gotham Knights is the worst.
Gotham Knights is hard. I still have to put Gotham Knights second worst because it's like Arkham Knight is the worst of that whole batch.
Then Gotham Knights.
And then your other Arkham trilogy. But I really like Arkham Origins story. I love like early Batman getting used to his stuff. I know it didn't review well at the time.
I'm just absolutely, it's I feel good. Like I've been punched in the gut by your assassination of City, putting it so low in the trilogy.
I never liked City. And I just didn't like it because I liked how confined Asylum was. Like it was literally this like atmospheric, almost survival horror feel to it. Mm-hmm. And then you had all these like Zelda elements that fleshed out the level design, all the unlocks and everything. And it was really cool. And then City was like, what if we had a really tight experience and it was like a dinner plate and we smashed it and now you have to go like every bit to bit to bit to get the bit that you want. And I didn't think that the city was that enjoyable, and it's not that Origins is that much more enjoyable, but I just found that Origins story was better than City. So for me, I prefer Origins in that regard. I know that's patently insane. Keep in mind that I've filmed so much stuff this morning that my brain is barely on a track at all. But yeah, Asylum's still my absolute favorite.
Yeah, okay, overall. Fair enough. For me, it'd be Arkham Knight is definitely the worst one for me. It's the only one that I haven't finished. I gave up on it because I just actually didn't enjoy it that much. I really hated using all of the Batmobile stuff. And it's
The boss fights. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird to see people like actively defending the Batmobile stuff. And it's I don't want to sound like a real pretentious prick here, but it's a case of like, are you saying that you enjoy the Batmobile stuff because you genuinely enjoy it or because you haven't had a better experience in a car or car vehicular combat? Because like Burnout games, any of the Carmageddon, like a Vigilante 8 games, any of those does vehicular combat far better than that. Cell Damage, you remember Cell Damage?
I love Cell Damage. Overdrive, Cinder. Was my dude.
So there you go.
Overall, sorry, with Arkham Knight, it's just that, like, for me, the story was so off-putting. The Batmobile stuff was so chaotic and ridiculous. I forgot about those boss fights where you have to fight the Arkham Knight himself in that sewer system, and it's all like
so boring, stunts and stuff.
That sucked. But yeah, I think that Gotham Knights, I think over time, people will discover how good the story and the writing and everything is.
That's what's been happening with Origins, isn't it? People have been re-examining it over the last couple of years and are saying that it's held in much higher regard. So maybe in like 4 or 5 years' time, we'll be sitting here going like, God, do you remember those idiots who thought that Gotham Knights was bad?
It is a weird one because it feels like three different games stapled together. Like it's this weird like,
or like Resident Evil 6
thing.
Did.
A little bit. Like Gotham Knights is like you're kind of an Arkham game. You've got like Arkham atmosphere and like storytelling, but then you also have like weird Anthem style mission design where it's like go here and defend against this point and like stuff like that. But it's in a single player game or can be played single player unless you want to do co-op. And then it also has all this loot stuff and it's like go get all these mod chips and whatever.
The loot.
It's just kind of there, but like for the most part, it comes together, and the costumes do look incredible when you finally get them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, next question from PG Quips, who says UBP. Hope you're both happy and healthy. Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord released on console under 2 weeks ago, and I'm loving it. £35 for hundreds of hours, but it flew well under the radar for most people. What past games flew under your radar that you wish you hadn't missed?
By the way, big shout out to Mountain Blade. Fantastic game. Really, really, really fun. I haven't actually checked out the sequel yet, though. So I'm looking forward to that. That's on my list of things to do. At the moment, I'm, like I said, I'm working through Jedi Fallen. What was it?
Fallen Order, yeah.
Yeah, Fallen Order. There it is. Yeah, so I'm working through that because I've just finished off The Valiant and enjoyed that. And do you know what? I actually think The Valiant's going to be the game that flies under the radar for many. It just is.
Shout.
It just doesn't seem that it's had as much traction. It's got a weird approach to the RTS genre in the sense that it's more to do with squad-based rather than base building and management of full resources. But I think that the tale that it tells is really good because a lot of people just think that when you've got like RTS games or squad-based games like XCOM and stuff like that, it's about the gameplay. But it has to be stitched together by a decent narrative. Like the reason that XCOM 2, War of the Chosen, works so well is because it introduces those three big nemesis that you've got to take down all the way through the game and it pushes you to move forward. Mm-hmm. Some other games fall apart because they just oh, we've got good combat, but no reason to care about it.
Right.
Whereas The Valiant is great in the sense that you tell this story of, you think it's going to be, oh, knights crusading for God and glory and it's all po-faced and boring. But no, it goes places. It goes really mad. Okay. And you start ending up like looking at the characters just going, what the heck is going on here?
That's cool. We should flag that we were or are whatever sponsored by Valiant. We just did a video for them a couple of weeks ago.
Oh yeah, I'm not sponsored in this point right now, by the way. I have actually been playing it. I just really enjoy it.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. We were sponsored, so we did a specific set of videos for them, which is on the channel, but then we had access to the game and you were like, this is actually brilliant. Like we did a few bits of filming for it and then you kept going with it. So yeah, just to differentiate those two things. But yeah, I think that in terms of overlooked stuff, because of the way that our jobs are, I tend to hoover everything up. It's rare that I miss something. I'm trying to think of something that took me a beat to get back to. I guess Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Like I love Blind Forest and then I didn't go through Will of the Wisps when it first landed. I forget what else was out at the time. And I just remember giving that a few more months or whatever. And then when I finally got back to it, I was like, this is absolutely incredible. And I wish I was screaming about it for more of the year. Because another knock-on effect of the way that we do stuff is that it's rare that things get talked about out after the year that they've released in.
I feel as well that we should obviously use this platform to talk about your most favorite overlooked game, which is Titanfall 2, which you can obviously now get on the Xbox Game Pass through the EA thing as well. So
people
have even more less reason not to play this game.
That's definitely a thing that like most people, like it's overlooked to most people. I was one of the guys sitting there with my little flag from launch on Titanfall 2 going, it's not COD or Battlefield, guys, it's Titanfall. But then that was like 6 years ago. So it's like, you would hope that people finally give it a shot. Because it's still online, the servers are still there. People can go play it. Literally the best first-person shooter you could ever put your time into.
Yeah.
I would massively recommend it.
There's like so many games that I've played recently that I just feel are unfortunately just going to go by the wayside because they just haven't had as big a marketing campaign, or there's just too many games coming out at the moment, or they just aren't fitting in with the current vibe of what people want right now, but will be amazing games in like a couple of years. Like there's this video game, You Suck at Parking, that came out fairly recently. Beautiful little game, absolutely brilliant. Like you just drive your car, park it in spaces, and it's just different challenges of how
like
to get
competitively.
There. Yeah, and it's all like top-down Micro Machine style aesthetics, and I absolutely loved it, but I'm seeing nobody talk about it. Also that Turbo Golf Mania, where it's like it's Rocket League with but with ball. Golf. No one's talking about it, even though mechanically it's so smooth. It feels like, you know, like Rocket League had teething problems out the wazoo when it first started. This just has hit the ground running and it plays magnificently. And yet I can't find a single person that wants to play it. If you know what I mean?
I know
no one's heard of it.
Like,
it's such a
shame.
Like
that thing of like certain blockbusters. Like obviously, like you said, God of War is dominating right now. And like, I don't know if it's an algorithmic thing, but I'm obviously getting a lot of like Gotham Knights stuff, or I'm getting a lot of Sonic stuff. A lot of Gotham stuff is because everyone's just going, oh my God, the state of this game. But yeah, there's only so much sort of social media space that things can take up. And then that ends up becoming like the conversation. But yeah, it's always worth going back to certain things over time. At least they've all been patched by then as well.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll play better. Next question from Jack Asbury, who says, the UBP mug is definitely up there for me with the 50th anniversary Disney World mug from Florida. That is some good company to be keeping.
Nice.
I've been replaying God of War before Ragnarok, and I still find one of the Valkyries as hard as I did years ago. Have you ever been back to a game and still found it difficult? I still cannot get out of the opening of Crypt of the Necrodancer. My brain will not comprehend a rhythm-based dungeon crawler. I can't attack anything when I want to.
Yeah, I mean, like every single time that I go back through, so I've done so many hours in Elden Ring, Dark Souls 3 was one of my most played games ever, Bloodborne, same as Sekiro, whatever, but I still go back to the original Dark Souls and I just go, oh, I'm going to get my ass handed to me by the same boss in the exact same way. I'm going to get so frustrated. And I'm like, why don't I play this game differently? I know how the other games play. Why can't I get this one right?
I did the same thing with 2018's God of War. Like I went back to that game during the review period for Ragnarok because I was like, I want to compare the combat systems and everything. And I've never beaten Sigrun. I don't know if you've beaten Sigrun.
I have, but you know what? It took me like 3 nights solidly. Actually, it might have been like 2 nights. I might have booked a day off work and it was just awful because I went to bed so angry. You know that Simpsons meme where he's just like looking up at the ceiling in bed and he's fuming? I had that. And then it was the case of the next day I woke up early to try and beat it. And it still took me about like 4 or 5 hours. Had to go to the gym to calm down again, came back, thought I was relaxed, and then finally it clicked. And I was like,
we should do.
Yes!
I was going to say, because in the Ask Me Anything video that I did, people were like, okay, is there a Sigrun in this game, like a Sigrun alternative or something?
Ooh, I feel like that's spoilerific, isn't it?
Well, if specifically it would be. I've not found them yet, so I can't tell you. I've found various...
is it Ogdo Bogdo? Is he back again?
He's dropping in. He's Ogdo dropping. I think that in regards to like Valkyria equivalent stuff, there is a series of enemies that you can fight, choose to fight, that are very much the Ragnarok stand-ins for the Valkyries. Mm-hmm. So they are there. I don't know whether there's a leader or something that would be Sigrun adjacent.
Oh, there probably will be.
Probably is in there somewhere. But yeah, I feel like the games that like keep you up at night, we should do that as a list. And because I remember my worst one ever was always, but what the hell is the name, the thingy in Smough in Dark Souls 1?
Oh, Ornstein and Smough.
Ornstein and Smough. I know that's like the most go-to thing, but I've never been awake at 3 a.m. just going like, oh my God, I was so wired fighting that and I cannot rest. I just can't, I'm not happy about my life. I'm devoting my life to fighting this thing and I just can't beat it.
Dude, the amount of Guitar Hero songs that were like that for me through university, I'd finish playing them, I'd feel sick. I'd look at the floor and it'd be like constantly scrolling up like the note fretboard.
I used to always do that where the carpet would like move.
Yeah. And then I'd go to bed and I'd sit down and be like, I know I can nail that solo, but I'm actually, my fingers are physically tired. I can't do it. I need to rest.
That was the thing, learning real guitar.
We could do video games that physically hurt you as well.
Yeah, because you could have like all the weird like blisters or whatever it is on your fingers trying to get used to everything.
And do you not remember there was that horrible case of there was an arm wrestling machine, an arcade game in Japan, and it was you know the sort of gimmick, you like put your hand up there and you just force against the machine and it gets tougher and tougher and tougher. It got so tough on one of the difficulty settings that it reportedly broke 3 people's arms.
Great. That's the AI uprising. Yep. One arm at a time. Yep. That's, isn't that the start of The Fly when he goes to wrestle a guy and gets his arm broken and becomes The Fly? But yes, I'm going to wrap this up now because I think we've been going for about 35, 40 minutes or so. Yeah,
37 minutes, 55 right now.
Sweet Lord. But yes, a massive thank you to everybody for sending in your various questions. I think we got through a healthy 5.
Yeah, I know. It was a low number because we started talking about Ragnarok for so long.
It's a bit of a deal. And then we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what's landing next week because God of War will be here in full, and so will Sonic.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I'm dreading is because of the fact that next Friday Sonic will be here, and that's all Scott will want to talk about on the UBP. I apologize in advance.
I'm going to restrict myself because I'm going to play it.
It's only half an hour.
I'm going to play it. It'll be available midnight on Wednesday night, like the Thursday morning.
Good.
It's the day before God of War. So I'll get it all out of my system and then I'll not come at you with Sonic things on Friday.
Well, you
know
what you should do is you should store those feelings in a cup or mug. And if you want to support the channel and also the UBP, you can go to the incredibly catchy, and I'm going to read it out in full as a final treat to you people here.
Please do.
whatculture-wrestling.creator-spring.com/listing/untitled-banter-pod-mug?pod=1566 and variation. Enjoy, my friends. Enjoy.
That's the fun. That's like taking out like a novel to make sure that people get to the right URL. But yeah, genuinely, as always, a massive thank you to everybody for sending in their questions. And anyone who's picked up one of the UBP mugs just yet, because like I said, I think last week, we're still dominating the sales charts. We're doing very, very well.
Yeah, we are.
Hell yes, we are. So yes, massive thank you. This has been the UBP.
The UBP.
I've been Scott Tilford. You've been Jules Gill. I'm on Twitter @LP89. And you...
I'm on Twitter at RetroJ, but the O is a zero. And remember, you can check there every Thursday where Scott and I will put out a tweet asking you for your burning questions, gaming related or otherwise. So big love to you all. I'll pass it back to Scott to do the final words.
You can tell the state of my brain that it's in. But yes, beautiful. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Bye, 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 bye. And this is only the third time we've had to record the EVP.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.